Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Amen. I'm going to share scripture out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. If we could just stand for a moment as we read. Says here, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves don't break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'll talk to you for just a few minutes here with a thought about your banana plant legacy. I keep the Philippine theme, your banana plant legacy. Jesus, we pray. Almighty God, did you speak to our hearts? Let us get an understanding of what you're doing in our lives. Oh God, how you are working in our midst, what you desire to do with our life. Oh, Lord, speak to us today in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. You see, when I mention about like cost and that, here, just give you an idea. We never know how the Lord's going to work. We just went to an island in April. Someone had invited us to attend a wedding. And if I'm going to go anywhere, if I'm going to spend time flying somewhere, I want to try to also tie together something in regards to this deaf evangelism. And so we contacted a pastor that I had talked to in the past, and he agreed. The wedding was on a Thursday. He agreed that on Saturday we could have a workshop at his church and invite other United Pentecostal churches in their section to come and join. And so when we did that, we had 8 churches represented at the workshop. Now, there were no churches with deaf ministry at all in this area. There were in the district, but not in this section. Yet 12 deaf attended the workshop because we met some the day before on a Friday. And we had gotten together with them at a mall and connected for lunch and invited them to come and join our workshop. And so 12 deaf were there. And so we told them, we're planning to have service the next day, but somebody would be there to interpret. And they said, oh, okay. They were curious about that. I said, however, the service isn't until 3 in the afternoon because it's an anniversary service, and it's going to be at a hotel rather than the church because they were inviting other churches and they didn't have room to do that at their local church. So we said it will be at 3 o'clock, but why don't we first gather together for lunch? And I told them, come on a this Sunday afternoon for lunch, and we'll go to this one, to Alicia's Bok Choy, B-A-T-C-H-O-Y. And there they sell the bok choy's a soup. Well, let's go there, okay? We got to the restaurant, and I'm thinking, okay, I wonder how many of those 12 will come. We told them they could invite friends. What we didn't know was that we were going to have 54 deaf show up for lunch in an area where no United Pentecostal church had a deaf ministry, where these deaf had, they had experienced the Catholic churches, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Baptist church. They had, those that had any church affiliation, they'd experienced these things. And so we thought, oh, wow, okay, this is good. 54 is a little surprise, but you see, I like to not limit God. Okay, so this worked. It was exciting, and then we said after lunch, any of you want to come and join us for this service? You see, any of them that had gone to church, they would have already done it. Those that didn't go to church at all, well, they just had a free afternoon. So come and join us at this hotel. We'll see how many of the 54 show up. We get to the hotel. 48 of the deaf showed up for the service. We were amazed, and they were touched. You see, the pastor was watching because he had a guest speaker, and he had seen deaf ministry like at youth camps and other things now that it's starting to spread, but never in his own church. And he was watching as Becky was interpreting. I want you to understand something that is very important. You see, the interpreters, even though they may not be as skilled as those that are certified and have all this great knowledge, we tell them you should learn as much as you can and continue to grow in your understanding of sign language. But what is the most important thing about your interpreting is the anointing. You see, because the deaf can't hear the word of God. And so what they depend upon is the interpreter. And the interpreter becomes the preacher. And they need to have the same anointing that is coming from the pulpit and is coming through them as they interpret. And this pastor, he's a young man about 35 years old. And he looked over at me and he said, "They're crying." He said they were visibly weeping and wiping the tears. They had never experienced feeling the Holy Ghost in a church service. And he said to me, he said, "I have preached in many services, and the people I preach to are hearing." He says, "I don't get that reaction. They hear the word. I don't see the tears like that." He says, "All they have is the interpreter that is bringing the word to them. And they feel that power of God." And they were telling my wife afterwards, we don't know. We feel this all over us." Since that service, that church has started a deaf ministry. What we did is we moved a young lady. You would have seen her in there. She was helping to interpret for one of the girls being baptized at a youth camp. But her name is Ruby, and Ruby is one of our first interpreters. And she is one of the best interpreters we have. And she was in between jobs, and we moved her last year in November to an island on Masbate because Masbate, we went there, went to their district conference, and we only had one deaf on the whole island baptized. No churches with a deaf ministry. And so we went there to try to introduce deaf ministry to the churches as well as to the deaf. 10 deaf came. Did you see in the video where Becky was doing like a Bible study in a mall? It's one of the nice things about deaf ministry, you know. And so there she witnessed to them, and 10 deaf came, and during that district conference, 7 of them were baptized in Jesus' name. And before, there was that one man who had been baptized. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But now there's no churches with deaf ministry, so we asked Ruby, we said, "Hey, you're in between jobs. Would you be willing to do deaf ministry full time? We'll pay you a salary, a monthly salary, if you'll go to Masbate and work with the churches there." So she worked there with them for 5 months, and now there's 2 churches that have a deaf ministry on the island of Masbate. But now we are in Iloilo, where we had just had a service where 48 deaf came into the church, came to the service, and the pastor was ready to start a deaf ministry. So on Mother's Day, we introduce Ruby to the deaf and to the church, and she's there, and deaf started coming to the service. We went back there at the end of June to try to solidify some things before we returned to the United States. And during that service, 7 deaf were baptized in Jesus' name, and 1 received the Holy Ghost. But before that, there were 3 deaf that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the Pentecost Sunday, and that girl that you saw getting baptized at the youth camp also received the Holy Ghost. So now this church, just since May, has 8 deaf baptized and 5 with the Holy Ghost. They've got a nice, solid deaf ministry already. That's what we want to see. But I mentioned to you about a legacy and about laying up treasures. You see, the Lord, throughout the scripture, felt it was important to have something left behind. Maybe for those that want to provide for future generations in your family, you would have an inheritance passed on. You might have a house or possessions or maybe a bank account or something that you saved up, an inheritance, and that is a good legacy. But you see, those are the things that the Bible spoke of that were treasures that moth and rust, thieves, things like this that could take it away. It's just temporary. It doesn't do anything in the heavens. And so there were some things I started looking in the scripture, and I found some legacies real quickly for you. The psalmist said in Psalm 78, verse 4, "We will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done, for he has established a testimony." The testimony that you are building in your life. You see, you don't have to wait till you're old to develop a legacy. You see, all through your life, you're developing a legacy of a great testimony of the works and of the power of God in your life. And that scripture goes on to say it's so that we can pass it on to the next generation, to our children and their children, so they will know the power, the miracles of God. It's a legacy that you can leave behind with your family, your friends, and those around you. And then there was another legacy found in Proverbs. It said in Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of refuge." Someone last night, I think, is Jake your son? Right? You said something about the fear of the Lord last night. You see, fear of the Lord doesn't mean afraid. It means respect, reverence, awe. It means obedience to the Lord. But look what it said. You want to leave a legacy for your children? You want to leave a legacy for your grandchildren? You want to leave a legacy for others that come behind you? You have a healthy respect of God, of his word. Be obedient to the word of God in your worship and your praise, because it says if you do that, that your legacy of the fear of God and reverence for God will be a refuge to future generations. It will be a place of protection for them, a place that they can surround themselves with. Your legacy can be passed on to them. Now, I mentioned something called the banana plant legacy. Can you see my bananas? How many of you have driven by a banana plant? Okay, what country or what state? Israel. Philippines. Okay, I asked that because, you see, where did you see your banana plant? You have one in your home. Outside. Okay, it's not going to last long when that oh, wow, it's gotten through the frost. You see, because you see, banana plants don't survive well in our climate here. You go in the Philippines, wherever you drive. When I show this to the Filipino, that's just a banana. Well, we've got a million of them. I pray that after we're finished here, the next time you eat a banana, something triggers within you about your banana plant legacy. What's that? Well, you see, if all you had was the leaves, many of you wouldn't know what that was. But how do you know for sure that that's a banana plant? By its fruit. How do people know you're a Christian? How do they know you're a follower of the Lord? By your fruit. You're identified by it. Galatians tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, we read it there, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, if people see these things in your life, they can say, oh, I can identify that person as a child of God, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ because of the fruit that they bear. What I saw, what was really interesting with those bananas, I've seen banana plantations around the Philippines, and I go, and they have plastic bags around their bananas. I thought, are they trying to get them ready for market already? No. The plastic bags were to protect them from pests, from disease, from other things. Some say it was even to help the plants to ripen. And I tell you, protect your fruit. Protect your fruit. What you're doing here right now, you're in the house of the Lord, you're protecting the fruit of the Spirit that is within you. When you pray, you're protecting, you're providing for that fruit, you're taking care of that fruit. And when you read the Word of God, you're taking and surrounding that fruit so that it doesn't become damaged or spoiled. Now, the last thing I want to share with you on this banana plant is the next picture. You see, one of the things that I found with the Apostle Paul, as you see here, you don't see too many, and there's some bananas in there. They're green, but look at the base of them. Paul said something different about fruit. In Romans chapter 1, he said in verse 13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. I purpose to come to you. He wanted to go to Rome. But he says, I was let hitherto, which just means I was prevented. I was inhibited. The Lord would not allow me to go. But he tells them, I want to have fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. Verse 14, I'm a debtor to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. What he meant when he said, I want to have fruit, I want to have souls. Paul desired to go to Rome, not so that he could have a great crusade and have everybody say, oh, there's that great man that preached that crusade. No, he desired to go there because there were the Gentiles, the barbarians, the Greeks, and those people that needed to hear the word of God. I want to have souls. And I bring to you today the thought, your banana plant legacy is going to be wrapped up in the lives you affect and the souls you reach. And I'll show you something here. You see, in that other picture, my wife told me this years ago, and it didn't click spiritually till recently. But in this other picture that we have, that was showed you see living plants coming up, but also around there are ones that have died. One thing I didn't know about when I went to the Philippines is that that plant that produced that fruit, once it produced that fruit and that fruit is cut down, that plant dies. One time, one stem, one option, and then it dies. It does not produce fruit anymore. It reminded me of a song. Can you help me? Have you heard this song? I know those of you that are a little older have.
Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do His will. So give to Jesus all your days, for it's the only life that pays. When you recall you have but one life.
Let's just stand here a moment as we close this service. Only have one life. You're like that banana plant. Grows, produces fruit, and dies. But there's something else about that plant. When I said about a legacy, you see, spiritually speaking, what I'm going to share with you has no limitations. It does a little bit with the banana plant. But you wonder, well, then where do all the other plants come from? And you see, if you look at these plants, if you were to see them in person, as the plant is growing, and as the bananas are being formed, at the base of the plant are sprouts that are coming up from the root system in that, and having each their own individual plan. And as you live your life, as you're doing God's will, as you are producing and bearing the fruit of the Spirit, witnessing, affecting lives, there are sprouts that are coming up that are your legacy. Lives that are going to be affected by your life. People who are going to be changed. People who are going to be saved because of you. People who are saved, whose lives are going to take a different direction, because you're going to come in and say, hey, I want to share some of the goodness of God. I want to share some of the power of God. I want to share what the Word of God has. I wanted to speak to your heart so that as you are developing your own life, you see, we know that as we get closer to 70 and beyond, we are at where we have less years left than we've already spent. But those people you saw in that video, these interpreters, the deaf that are being reached, are the sprouts that are coming up as a legacy. You don't have to wait till you're old to start producing your legacy. You see, because as that stem is growing. The sprouts are starting to come up. The fruit is being shaped and formed, and there's other sprouts that are going to come to take its place. Will you allow the Lord to develop your banana plant legacy?
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.